So for decades, my weight was a struggle to maintain, and it still blows me away that I've found a way to eat where I get the best of both worlds, where I enjoy food and I feel good in my clothes. So if I could go back in time, these are the 8 lessons I would tell my younger, fatter self to save me from so much suffering and angst and, let's face it, wasted brain space. Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hi, so welcome to Joyful Eating, episode 167. So today we're talking about 8 lessons about my weight I wish I knew earlier. But before we get to that, the best bite I had this week, so I taught a class to my joyful cooking group. It was called Air Fryer Alchemy. So it's all about how to get the most out of your air fryer. The meal that I made when we were doing the class was like frozen broccoli. And then I did some frozen salmon and also some chicken thigh fillets in the air fryer. And I then served the broccoli, like cooked it all in the air fryer, served the broccoli and the salmon and the chicken with some commercial, like it was called a cheese and chive dip, but it was just like this amazing, it was a really delicious sauce. And then I just sprinkled it with some, I call it these nuts dust. So for those of you that are Mr. Beast YouTuber fans, he has this chocolate out called these nuts, which is like chocolate with peanuts in it. Then that my boys love, because I just love like the thought of these nuts, they just, they cracks them up. And they, of course, like any jokes like that, they're all about it. So my D's nuts dust actually doesn't have chocolate in it. It's an idea I got from when I was in Paris of like just getting roasted nuts and then you kind of pulse them in the food processor. And so there you get like little chunky bits and some nut dust as well. And then it's just really beautiful to sprinkle over dishes like my air fryer alchemy meal. And yeah, just because it adds that nuttiness, adds a bit of richness, adds a bit of crunch. Like, yeah, such a really, you know, a really beautiful flavor bomb. Let's talk about plan for today. So basically, I'll just share the story behind this episode, and then I'm going to dive in and share with you these 8 lessons. And then before we wrap up, I'll give you a concrete next step on what you should do, how you can apply this and get some benefits from your life as well. So basically, the story about this episode is I was actually looking at some old recipes, YouTube videos that I'd done like back in like 2010. And just like seeing myself on camera, like it's kind of weird to have this thing out on the internet. But yeah, I just really noticed like how like puffy my face was and how like how much heavier I looked back then compared to now. And I was like, wow. And like back then I wasn't weighing myself, so I've got no idea like, you know, actually how different my weight was. But I was like, wow, like the thought made me think like, wow, I've come so far. Like, and I remember it just got me back thinking back to that time of how difficult food was and how much of a struggle it was and how I was always torn between, oh yeah, I love food and I want to spend all afternoon in the kitchen cooking. But then I also like didn't want to feel gross and I didn't want to feel like bloated and I didn't want to feel like, you know, gross in my clothes as well. So there was always this tension, and it just made me so grateful that I've found a way to eat where I don't have any of that struggle anymore. So, and that of course got me thinking about like, if I could go back in time and talk to like 2010 Jules and say, hey, like, what would I say to her? So here are the lessons that I would say to her. First is like, it's possible for this to be easy, and just to give her that idea, because I think at the time, like, I didn't even realize that it was an option, that a food could be without this struggle. Because at the time, I kind of thought that as a food lover, there was always going to be this tension. So that would be the first thing, is like just to like sow the seed that it's possible that food could be easy and that your weight could be easy and that you don't, like, all this struggle is optional. And part of that, I would say, you know, like one of my favorite quotes of all time that I'm sure I've shared on the podcast is, like, always think what you have to do is easy and it will become so. It's from a French guy called Emile Coué. But I just, this idea that I was telling myself so much that it was hard and that perpetuated it being hard. And like, if I had like just even thought that it was possible that this could be easy, it was possible that I could change, I tell you what, I would have started changing longer ago. That's not very good English, but anyway, you know what I mean. Next is that it's good to snack intentionally. And this is something that I've really, like, I used to have this idea that, you know, it was bad to snack and you should just be eating proper meals. Like, you should just eat your meals and there shouldn't be any snacking in between. But what I've discovered over the years of trying different things is that actually for me, it's better. Like, when I started having an intentional afternoon snack, it just made it so much easier for me to cook dinner without picking and doing all the, like, you know, filling up before dinner, because I wasn't walking into the kitchen when I was hungry. And I think having that intentional snack has been a life changer for me. And it's also been a life changer that I've seen in so many of my clients, and particularly ones that had that like afternoon slump and then were like just trying to push through until dinner. Like, that was definitely my circadian rhythm that has been helped by snacking. But also I've really seen it in clients with the kind of after dinner snacking thing of like, I'll just like, you know, go in, grab a few nuts and grab some chocolate and then just go back for more and more and do that fridge or pantry foraging. And it's like, it's really fascinating that when we give ourselves permission and we actually set the intention of, oh yeah, I am going to have something after dinner, that it means that you get to enjoy it first, which is, of course, is always, always important and always a part of like joyful eating, but also it stops it becoming this like, you know, crazy snack fest. So like you're able to eat a reasonable amount, feel satisfied, and then move on with your evening. And so you're not going back for more and more and more, which means that you're like, it doesn't become a problem for your weight. Like, you can, you're eating in balance and it's like not a big deal. So it just takes that pressure off. Okay. So next one, number three, I would tell myself you have insulin resistance, Jules, which, yeah, like I only discovered that afterwards, but yeah, that because I had PCOS, like that, I didn't even know that this was a link, and I would just let myself know. And actually, eating a lot of carbs isn't helping this situation. And I would like give myself that heads up of like, actually, maybe you might want to look into either like just eating low carb and or taking some metformin, which I do now, which is just going to make your life so much easier. Just a quick break to say thank you for listening to Joyful Eating. I don't run ads on the podcast, so the only way this podcast grows is by word of mouth. So if you've received value from my work, I'd be so grateful if you took a few seconds to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. I appreciate you. Now back to the show. Number four, I would tell my former self to like prioritize protein, like eat more protein. Protein is the most satisfying macronutrient. And it's the best way to like feel satisfied, and that so many of us don't eat enough protein, and that actually when you do eat enough protein, then your desire to overeat is radically reduced. Then number five, set intentions for alcohol. So I would also tell myself, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe that you could get to this place where you only have like two or three glasses of wine a week, and that's all you want. Like, I would tell myself that, although my older self, former self probably wouldn't believe it. So I would actually probably frame it in, you know what, if you want to have a healthy relationship with alcohol, get into the habit of setting intentions around it. And that's going to change everything, is what I would tell my former self, and let her figure it out for herself. Number six, like set intentions for cooking as well, especially baking. And so I would, yeah, that's what I would tell myself, because that's been a huge game changer for me as well. Because one of my biggest overeating scenarios would be when I was in the kitchen, and particularly if I was doing a photography day and I was cooking all day and photographing, taking photos. And I would just like, I would just be randomly putting stuff in, like snacking through the whole thing. And that by the end of the day, I would feel so like so gross, but I kept doing it. But now, like all I do is like, I set that intention is of no, I'm not going to pick while I'm cooking. I am going to sit, like I am going to serve myself out lunch, and I take a lunch break and I have whatever I've cooked. I have a taste of everything, so I don't get to miss out on the tasting part. But I would, yeah, like it's so mad to me now that I used to just graze through the whole day and then feel gross. Whereas now I just set that intention of no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to have lunch. It's going to be great. And I can do it. And I can easily have a whole day in the kitchen without putting any like random stuff in my mouth. Like, it's so fun that I can do that. And also that I can do that when I'm baking as well. Like tell myself that, yeah, you can make cookies without eating all the cookie dough. Like this is possible. You can just set that intention and you could do that. If someone from the future came and told me that, I would be like, oh, okay, I'll give that a go. Then number seven, I would tell myself, stop cleaning your plate. it doesn't have to be clean. Like this is just an old habit and that you often won't need everything on your plate to feel satisfied. And that in itself is going to help a lot with the weight. And it means that when you go out to restaurants, you can tune into how you're feeling, means you don't overeat. And so you can travel and it's going to have so many benefits to you. Break up with the clean plate club and just start listening to your body instead. And then number eight, I would tell myself, weigh yourself every day, Jules. And like that, it's just really helpful to have this data and to have that feedback for so many reasons. And I've actually done previous podcast episodes on that actually. And I would tell myself, listen to this amazing podcast with Joyful Eating. I would tell myself that, yeah, actually it's really helpful to have that data every day and to learn to weigh yourself every day, because then you learn and also it gives you that little bit of accountability and you can do it without it being obsessive. And also that when you have this knowledge, that then you're not always guessing like, oh, am I gaining weight? If someone gives you you run into someone, they're like, oh, are you still running? You're not in your head thinking, oh, they think I've put on weight because they think I've stopped running. Like you're not having any of those crazy thoughts. Or if you feel really bloated one day, you're not freaking out because you know exactly where your weight is. Like, and just having that knowledge is so helpful. That's the eight lessons that I would tell myself if I were to go back in time, and the eight lessons that I wish I knew earlier. So let's move on to next steps. So this is I know eight things is a lot of things for you to take in. So what I would invite you to do is just, I'll go through the list again. And I want you just to think okay, what's the one thing that's really jumping out at me that I want to, that would be fun for me to experiment with first? So the eight options are just telling yourself it's possible for this to be easy. Two, it's good to snack intentionally. Three, you may have insulin resistance. Four, eat more protein. Five, set intentions for alcohol. Six, set intentions for cooking, especially when you're baking. Stop cleaning your plate. And then eight, weigh yourself daily. So of that list, which of those is that's probably going to be really fun for me to do. Or that's going to give me a lot of benefit if I experiment with that. And then take that thing and just do an experiment this week. So try it out. If it's eating more protein, just have an experiment where you eat a lot more protein than you normally would at your meals and just see how that feels. And then you can decide whether it's for you or not, and or you might want to adjust, and then you can come back to this and then try the next thing. And that's my message to you today. And before we go, if you're enjoying the podcast, I'd really love to hear from you. Sometimes when you're podcasting, it can feel like it's just me talking out into the ether. So if you are finding my work helpful, please just shoot me a quick email, jules@thestonesoup.com. I'll put my email address in the show notes. But yeah, I would love to hear from you if you're finding Joyful Eating helpful. And also if you have any suggestions for future episodes, I'd love to hear about that. Or is there anything that you're struggling with and a specific thing that you would like some help with? I'd love to get some inspiration for future episodes from you as well. Okay, have a fantastic week and I will catch you next time.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.